7:02 afternoons with Relebogile
Mabotja. Let us talk virtual reality. I'm wondering, what does virtual reality mean for you? Is it just about fun and games? Is it just about entertainment? Have you actually even found yourself in a position to be able to engage with virtual reality? Do you have an idea of what it's about? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. We're joined by our guest, Gerald Ferreira, Chief Executive Officer of VR360, and also happens to be a virtual reality expert. Gerald, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Let's get started with what virtual reality is, especially for those that have never experienced it. How would you best describe what it is?
So virtual reality is a technology that creates a simulated world or experience that feels real. This is achieved by using a special headset that you wear on your head and sensors that track your movement. And then the aim is to make you feel as if you're actually in a different place and allow it to interact with the environment as if it is real.
So where is the first place that virtual reality was used?
Oh, so that is a tough question. So what I saw when we visited New Zealand, they've got a war museum there, and they actually started using almost like a virtual reality headset and panorama photographs during, I think it was the Second World War. Then during my university years here around, I think it was 1996, there was also a virtual reality headset that came out, and it still used those old CTR monitors. So it was very unpractical, but I think that is some of the first examples of the use of virtual reality that I know of.
So in terms of the different types of virtual reality, which are the ones that we need to know about?
So I think that is very important. You get bad virtual reality experiences, and then you get good virtual reality experiences. So the bad virtual reality experiences usually where it makes you feel nauseous, you can't move around in the experience and stuff like that. So we refer to it as 3DOF, 3 degrees of freedom, and 6 degrees of freedom. The 6DOF experiences is where you can actually walk around in virtual reality, interact with objects, you can pick it up, move it around, touch it, jump from places, drive a Ferrari, and all that sort of stuff. So that is the high-end virtual reality that I love.
And obviously, you touching on experiences, the kind of content that is within that virtual reality obviously will also play a factor.
Very important, yes.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's I think the content is extremely important. We actually helped our client this week with content that we didn't produce, and it was an awful experience. So people didn't really come to participate and see what it is like. And then we had another activation also this week where the content was very, very engaging, and people were queuing to get into this experience.
So what then is the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality?
So virtual reality is where you are inside the environment. So everything around you is digitally created. And it can be real or it can be fantasy. And then augmented reality is where you are still inside your environment, but you can see a digital overlay inside your actual environment.
So would that be, for example, there is a show on one of these home renovation channels, and what they do is before they renovate your house, they actually have you standing in one of the rooms and they put in what the house could look like when you put the headset on.
Yes, so I think that's a good example of virtual reality. So you are not present at that space, But with virtual reality, you can be present in that space, although virtually, and it will look exactly the same way as that space looks like in real life. And then just apply it to augmented reality as well, where let's say they are renovating the house and they're doing interior design, yes, and they want to put couches inside the room. Then you can maybe take that couch and put it actually inside your own room to see what it would look like in your own room.
I got you. I got you. Okay. And I think that actually makes it clearer for us. So where many people find themselves engaging with virtual reality might be, you know, some kind of getting to experience a Formula One vehicle. So if we use that example, as in now they're racing on a track in Monaco, how does it work that it makes, other than the person visually experiencing this, that it feels real?
So I think because you are immersed into that environment, and especially in that scenario, they have spent a lot of time to make those vehicles look ultra realistic. So if you drive a Mercedes, for instance, the Mercedes will look exactly the same as it would look in real life, and it's all around you. So unlike screens where you still see some parts of reality and some parts of the experience, in virtual reality, that is all you see. Then they can use other simulators. So you can have a steering wheel and you can have pedals and all that sort of things. So it is easy to get lost in a game like that, which just feels very, very, very real.
Has it reached the point yet, and I'm not sure if you would know, in the world where the virtual reality is trying to involve other senses like smell and taste?
So I think that is a sort of, I almost want to say, a misconception that you need to have those elements for it to feel real. So there's a lot of experiences that you go in, and because you see it visually and you can sort of touch it and feel it, you don't need those devices. But they have developed what they call a Tesla suit. So you can wear that Tesla suit, and then it uses electromagnetic impulses to make you feel stuff. Mm. And then also there's not haptic feedback when you touch something in virtual reality. So they're working on stuff where when you touch something like a feather, you feel it's a feather. When you touch something hard, you feel it's hard. And then there's another company that is working on smells. Mm. And under correction, I think they have a device out that allows you to have 256 smells already in VR. But it's an optional gadget that you have to add to your virtual reality headset.
Yes, yes. So other than, you know, it helping you decorate your house, or trying to have an idea of what your house could look like, and you want the feeling of, you know, I'm those people when somebody says 4x4 or 4 square meters squared. I don't know what that is. Like, I would love to have that experience. When you say that to me, they actually, I get to stand in a room and I get to see what that feels like. So outside of those spaces of entertainment and games and fun, where now is virtual reality applied for other uses? And can you share some of those uses with us?
So I think virtual reality is actually awesome technology. So if you can imagine like driving to a hospital, for instance, and you want to have experience in a hospital where a doctor is doing surgery or something like that, then you have to physically go to that place. And then if you want to go to NASA, you have to go to that place. So a virtual reality device makes it easy for you to go from one place to another one. And then in the medical industry, for example, we can talk about pain management. So virtual reality can be used to create immersive and relaxing environments mm. that distract people from their pain, such as a calming beach or a forest scene. And this can help reduce the need of pain medication and improve overall comfort. And then another example is physical rehabilitation, where VR can be used to create an interactive exercise that are engaging and motivating for patients, helping improve their range of motion, strength, and coordination. So that's basically just two quick examples.
And I think one that I've heard about is that it can be beneficial for people living with certain disabilities.
Yes, I think, so what we've done is I'm going to give you two examples.
Mm.
So there was a lady that contacted us from Australia, and her friend was in a hospice in South Africa. And one of her last wishes were to basically go to the ocean, experience the ocean, and have that feeling. So what we did is we have an ocean experience, and then we put her into that experience. And it was just amazing and heartbreaking at the same time to view this. And then she actually passed away the next day. So that was quite a touching experience for us. And I wanted to give you a second example.
No, don't stress. Don't stress about it, because I think even just what you're sharing in itself just goes to show it isn't just fun and games. I mean, there's the one that I've heard of, which sounds so just beautiful in the sense that virtual reality can be used to create empathy. So, for example, there's an app called A Walk Through Dementia, where people are able to experience what it feels like to live with certain disabilities and challenges. And I think that can just help them provide better care and give better attention to the people around them who are living with certain disabilities. So it isn't just for, like, the example that you gave. It's also if I want to say, actually, let me have an experience like this so that I'm more aware and sensitive.
So yes, that is true. We also developed an experience for a local medical company where people were what is that disease, where you feel off balance, vertigo.
Yes.
So but the doctors don't understand how people feel that have vertigo, so they will brush it off or not truly understand what it is like. So we simulated a vertigo feeling that people feel when they are feeling vertigo, and we put that in a VR headset. And then it was demoed to quite a big number of South African doctors. And for the first time, they could experience what their patients are actually feeling when they say they've got vertigo.
Yes, I think that's so, so brilliant. So how accessible is virtual reality to the average person? I see you can literally go and get a 12,500 rand a set of virtual reality glasses. You can go on Takealot and get a 1,300 rand set. You can go to Leroy Merlin and get a 500 rand set. So if I decide, you know what, I want to go and buy one of these, how do I get the data, the information, the reality experience uploaded, and what would I need to do, and what would I be using it for in my real life?
I think a virtual reality headsets about 10 years ago, it would have cost about 1 million rand. Today, it's accessible. So you've got those devices that you were talking about that cost in the region of 12,500. I think that is the device to get. That is a 6DOF virtual reality headset, and that gives you the opportunity to experience virtual reality at the moment the best you can. Then the other devices that are cheaper, those in the 200, 300, 400,000 rand range, those devices are actually just a container that you can use your smartphone. You use it with your smartphone, and then you enable a virtual reality experience. But it's really just an entry level. It's not high-end virtual reality, and you can't move inside the space and touch stuff and so on. So my choice would be the 12,500 rand headset.
Of course it would be. But I completely understand. I'm just happy that this type of technology is becoming more and more accessible to us. Thank you so much, Gerald Ferreira, Chief Executive Officer of VR360.